Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Powernomics, The National Plan to Empower Black America by Dr. Claude Anderson, presents an economic and strategic framework aimed at strengthening Black communities in the United States through focused wealth building. Known for his work at the intersection of public policy, education, and economic development, Anderson argues that political influence and social progress are difficult to sustain without a durable economic base. The book frames empowerment as a matter of organized group economics, disciplined investment, and institutional capacity, rather than solely individual achievement. It discusses how money circulates within communities, how assets are accumulated and protected, and how collective decision-making can shape outcomes in employment, business ownership, housing, and education. Written with a practical, program-like tone, it positions itself as a national plan, outlining priorities, behaviors, and structures that supporters can adopt locally. Readers can expect a blend of historical context, economic reasoning, and action-oriented guidance that emphasizes measurable results and long-term community resilience. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, economics as the foundation of sustainable power. A central theme of the book is that lasting influence is rooted in economics, not symbolism. Anderson emphasizes that communities with durable political leverage typically control assets, capital, and institutions that generate jobs and revenue. Without that base, gains in representation or policy can be fragile because the community lacks the financial capacity to fund initiatives, support candidates, sustain media, or buffer economic shocks. The discussion frames empowerment as a competition over resources and decision rights, who owns what, who controls investment, and who benefits from the spending of local residents. The book pushes readers to treat economics as a strategy, not merely a personal finance topic. It draws attention to the difference between income and wealth, highlighting how wages alone rarely build intergenerational stability if spending is not aligned with asset building. Anderson's approach encourages readers to assess community conditions through ownership rates, business density, employment pipelines, and savings behavior. The goal is to shift from reactive responses to crises toward proactive planning that compounds over time. In this framework, economic self-interest and community interest are aligned when spending, saving, and investing are organized deliberately. Secondly, group economics and the circulation of community dollars. The book argues that a key indicator of community strength is how long money stays in the community before it leaves. Anderson uses this idea to illustrate why high consumer spending does not automatically translate into prosperity if most purchases flow to external owners. He emphasizes that group economics requires coordination, shared priorities, trusted institutions, and consistent habits that turn consumption into local enterprise growth. Rather than presenting empowerment as a vague ideal, the book treats it as a practical system of choices, including where households shop, which businesses receive contracts, and how communities support entrepreneurs beyond initial enthusiasm. The concept extends to employment and procurement, suggesting that local hiring and supplier networks can multiply the impact of each dollar. Anderson also highlights barriers that disrupt circulation, such as limited access to capital, weak business infrastructure, and fragmented purchasing decisions. The response he proposes is intentional concentration, selecting target sectors, strengthening a smaller number of viable firms, and building repeat customer bases that stabilize revenue. The emphasis is on measurable behavior change, using purchasing power as a lever to create ownership, jobs, and reinvestment capacity. Thirdly, ownership, assets, and wealth building over income chasing. Another major focus is the distinction between earning money and owning wealth-producing assets. Anderson argues that communities can remain economically vulnerable even when individual incomes rise, if spending patterns and financial structures do not convert earnings into equity. The book urges readers to prioritize ownership in areas that historically generate stability and influence, such as businesses, real estate, land, and scalable services. It stresses that ownership changes the direction of cash flow. Instead of paying others for essentials, owners can capture margins, build equity, and reinvest. The discussion also treats assets as tools of negotiation and protection, enabling communities to weather downturns and fund long-term projects. Anderson encourages readers to think in terms of portfolio building, not just consumption and credentials. Education is framed as valuable when it increases capacity to produce, manage, and own, rather than solely to qualify for employment. This topic also includes attention to intergenerational transfer, advocating for structures that preserve gains and reduce the cycle of starting over each generation. Overall, the book pushes a mindset shift from short-term income maximization to long-term asset accumulation, with community-level coordination to scale results. Fourthly, institution building, businesses, schools, and local infrastructure. The book presents empowerment as an institutional project. Anderson argues that progress depends on building and controlling organizations that provide services, train talent, and anchor economic activity. Institutions include not only businesses, but also schools, training programs, financial entities, and community development structures that can plan, invest, and enforce standards. The emphasis is that individuals acting alone cannot easily replicate what structured organizations can do: pool capital, negotiate contracts, sustain leadership, and deliver consistent outcomes. Anderson's national plan framing pushes readers to think about capacity, governance, and accountability. Strong institutions create a feedback loop. They develop skills, employ residents, purchase from local suppliers, and support additional entrepreneurship. This topic also addresses the importance of focusing on sectors with recurring demand, so institutions can generate predictable revenue rather than relying on sporadic fundraising. The book suggests that communities should define strategic priorities, build supporting infrastructure, and measure progress using concrete indicators like business survival rates, homeownership levels, and workforce placement. By shifting attention from one-time initiatives to durable systems, the book positions institution building as the engine that turns vision into lasting economic presence. Lastly, strategic planning and collective discipline for national-scale impact. Anderson frames his ideas as a national plan, but the book's practical implication is local and regional execution guided by shared strategy. This topic centers on planning, prioritization, and disciplined coordination. The argument is that scattered efforts dilute impact, while focused strategies can compound resources and build bargaining power. Anderson emphasizes setting clear goals, selecting target industries, and aligning community behavior around those objectives. That alignment can include consumer choices, career pathways, entrepreneurship support, and investment habits. The book also highlights the role of leadership and shared standards, suggesting that communities benefit from agreed-upon rules for how money is spent, which initiatives receive support, and how outcomes are evaluated. Another emphasis is realism about competition and incentives. Effective plans account for power dynamics, market forces, and the need to protect gains through ownership and contracts. The broader message is that empowerment is not only a moral claim, but also a managerial task requiring structure and persistence. By treating economic progress as a coordinated program, the book calls for a shift from short-term mobilization to long-term execution, aiming to create scalable results that endure across generations. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a strategy-first approach to community empowerment, including entrepreneurs, students of public policy, civic leaders, and anyone interested in wealth building through collective action. It will also appeal to readers who feel that social progress is often discussed without a clear economic blueprint, and who want practical priorities that can be applied in neighborhoods, organizations, and family decision-making. The potential benefit lies in how the book reframes everyday choices such as spending, saving, career planning, and investing as parts of an integrated system. By emphasizing ownership, institutional capacity, and measurable outcomes, it can help readers move from motivation to structure, turning intentions into repeatable practices that build assets over time. Compared with similar books that focus primarily on personal finance or general inspiration, Powernomics stands out for its group economics lens and its plan-oriented framing. It does not position empowerment as an abstract goal, but as an operational program centered on circulation of dollars, targeted investment, and durable institutions. For readers seeking a cohesive economic strategy tied to community-scale results, it offers a distinctive, action-focused perspective worth purchasing. If you would like to support Dr. Claude Anderson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.